Psalms 119. Let me go ahead and open a word of prayer before I preach. Lord, I thank you for this opportunity to preach, and I pray that you would help me with this message. Allow this message to encourage us, keep our heads around us, keep us safe, and that would be a blessing. We ask in Jesus' precious name, amen. John, could you do me a favor, if you don't mind? Could you make sure that thermostat is set or held at 70? I want to make sure it didn't yeah, there you go. I want to make sure the AC is on.
It's 70 and permanent hold,
so. All right, perfect. All right. There you go. Nope, that's all.
He's about to get on fire, folks.
There you go, amen. Bring it down to 60, and let me bring some fire and brimstone for this evening. Amen. I'm just teasing you. If you look here, if you remember Psalms 119, every single verse that's in this Bible is the very words of God. In Psalms 119, almost every single verse, other than a few, two or three, do not have a word that says or refers to the scripture. But in this group, in verse 41 to 48, again, you'll see where he's referring to God's word, right? Verse 41, you see the last is the word. Verse 42, word. In verse 43, you see word and judgment. Verse 44, you see the law. Verse 45, precepts. Verse 46, testimonies. Verse 47, commandments. Verse 48, you see commandments and statutes, right? So every single verse in this section deals with that. And matter of fact, going up through the first 48 verses we have gone through, we have seen a word in every single verse that has something of God's word that's there. So it's not a coincidence. God put it that way. There was a reason. He wants to try and encourage us to stay in his word, read his word. We need his word. And matter of fact, you'll see this is the longest chapter in the Bible. There's a reason for that. God wants us to know that we need his word more than anything. Amen. So anyway, as we're continuing our study here down at verse 41 and verse 42, he says, "Let thy mercies come also unto me, O Lord, even thy salvation according to thy word. So shall I have wherewith to answer him that reproacheth me, for I trust in thy word." Here it is. God is asking the Lord for mercy and salvation. Now, the word salvation is defined as being delivered, right? So it depends on how it's being used. One, it refers to if someone is lost, right? We need to be delivered from our sin, to be forgiven. Here, David's a saved person. He's not talking about be delivered from his sin. He's actually talking about being delivered from the oppression, whatever he's going through, this trial that he's going through. He's asking the Lord for mercy, and also he's asking the Lord for deliverance of what he's going through. David is going through a hard time, and in this hard time, he's going to the Lord and saying, "Lord, I need your help. I need you to deliver me. I need you to deliver me." And David knew that God would. David knew that God would deliver. Do you remember, excuse me, back in the Old Testament, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Now, it's interesting. A lot of times we remember them by the names that Nebuchadnezzar gave them versus the names that, the Hebrew names that they had. But whenever they would not bow down to that idol that the king Nebuchadnezzar made, he ultimately brought him before him. He says, "Hey, if you're going to bow down, it'll be okay with you. But if you're not going to bow down, I am going to throw you in that furnace." So you think about it. Here it was. They were so close, from a human standpoint, thinking to death. To be thrown in a fiery furnace, you're going to die. And that was in their, that's what they heard. And their response, They didn't think about this matter. It wasn't something they would sit there and ponder and say, "Let us come back to you and think about that," or let's weigh out these things. They were like, "We don't have to think about this." Let me just go to it so that way I don't miss. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, you'll find it in Daniel 3, verse 16, answered and said unto the king, "O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this manner," right? We're not going to examine the words and not be very careful in saying, "I better watch what I say." What they're saying is, we know what our answer is. And what was that answer? Verse 17, If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And he will deliver us out of thy hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Right? We're not careful, but we know that God is able and he will deliver us. Folks, can I tell you that they had faith? Now, sometimes you think about the delivery could be out of the trial, and sometimes God takes us home. But they had faith that God would deliver. Can I tell you, it's a wonderful blessing. We can go to the Lord and know that God will deliver us. Now, again, it may not be your way. It's God's way. And God always knows what is best. But we see here what he's in Psalms 119. What was it? It says here at the end of verse 41, according to thy word. In verse 42, for I trust in thy word. David had faith. David had faith in God. And David's faith is because he knew what God said. He always kept his word. He always kept his word. Do you know God honors his word all the time? Do you know, I was trying to think of where that verse is. I can't think of it. But the Bible says something like this. I'm trying to go through my computer. It's getting a little foggy up here sometimes. Thou hast magnified, Thou hast magnified that name above all thy word. I think about this. You think about the name of Jesus, amen, how glorious it is. But you think about his word, how precious his word is. God, when God gives us a promise, he keeps it. So when we as believers, when you go to the very words of God, and we see something in the very words of God that's a promise, the reality is you can apply it to your heart and say, you know what? Here's a promise God has given, and God will always honor this promise. God will never go against his word. Never. It's a wonderful thought. A lot of times, sometimes I'll say that God is faithful to me, and I obviously know what I'm referring to. But the reality is God is always faithful to his word. He's always faithful to his word. I place my faith in him, right? And I know that God is faithful, but he's faithful to his word. David was saying that, I know, Lord, according to thy word, I know that you honor your word, and I'm going to rest and trust in you. I'm going to trust in you because I know, Lord, you'll keep it. Remember when David was fighting against Goliath and all his brothers that were there, you know, they didn't go out and fight. The other men of the army, Israel, they didn't go out and fight. Saul the king didn't go fight Goliath, but David did. Do you ever think about this? David had faith. He saw what God did in the past. But you know, Goliath could not kill him. It was impossible for Goliath to kill him. Now, you may say, what do you mean? Oh, yes, he could kill him, right? But he could not kill him from his standpoint. I'm not trying to be a politician to try to confuse you. It's because God promised that he would use David. God promised that he would be the next king. Goliath could never defeat David. You know why? Because David had God's word on it. God is faithful to his word. So if you think about it, there was no way that David was going to lose that battle because his faith was in God. He trusted God. He believed in God. He knew what God did. But you think about it, there was no way he could lose. You think of it as a Christian, we have God's word on it. You didn't lose. You won. You're on the winning side. You have accepted the Lord as your Savior. The Bible says you're more than conquerors. Think about that for a moment. Amen. More than conquerors. Why is that? Because we have Jesus. Amen. And because God said it, we can believe it. So here it is. He believed what God said. Can I tell you as a believer, trust him. Trust him. God is faithful. Sometimes in my life, I get a little maybe anxious or maybe a little worried, right? And sometimes I'll think, you know, especially with this world or economy, it appears things are getting a little bit better. You don't know what could happen. Our president just put on new tariffs that's on Mexico. And whatever, Europe or whatever. But anyway, he put those new. Do you know a lot of our goods moved from China area down to Mexico? So if you think about it, a lot of things that we're going to bring into the country and what you buy and what I buy comes from Mexico. So now you have a potential of an extra 30% that's going to happen there. And that extra 30%, I guarantee you, there are going to be people on conference calls this week in large corporations that are going to be talking and saying, how can we handle this increase in our cost? And I'm pretty sure one of the things that probably won't be discussed, Mark, is I'll take a cut in salary. You know, so the reality is, you think that there is some uncertainty, right? And again, I'm not opposed to what our president's trying to do. Our president is trying to bring jobs back to America. He cares about this country, I believe. At least that's my opinion that he's doing it. What I'm saying is, there could be some hardships, right? There could be some people that lose their jobs and other things that are happening. And sometimes in my life, I can get myself where I can get a little nervous with that and start thinking, you know, what's going to happen? But you know, I have a promise from God. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. So I get a little nervous and I get like, whoa, what's going on? I just go to the scripture and say, you know, Lord, I need to keep you first. Keep you first in my life. So again, God always honors His word. I keep God first. God promised to take care of me. Now, that doesn't mean I'm going to eat steak. Mark, I don't know if I can. I want the Sam's Club. I don't know if I'm going to eat steak anymore. I saw 4 steaks for $60. 4 steaks for $60. Hey, if you're still eating steak, please let me know. I'll come over and I'll eat whatever you don't eat. Amen. The dogs eat the crumbs. I guess I'll eat the crumbs too. I'll bring my dog. We'll enjoy it. But anyway, I may not be eating steak, you know, but God will take care of me. So again, why is that? It's because God always honors His word. You hold on to a promise of God. Well, I won't get down to the tofu there. We're not going to go that far, John. That's going extreme.
He still takes care of me.
There you go. You know, I'm just teasing you. You got to throw a bunch of hot sauce on that thing. I mean, load it. You know? Give me the bottle and I'm eating that thing.
Take a bite and you say, this is what steak is.
Let me tell you. My brain, my belly ain't going to believe that. Amen. What's wrong with you, buddy? You lost it. Amen. So anyway, how did I get on that? John, I'll blame John. No, I'm just teasing. So what I'm saying is God will take care of you. God will take care of me. But there's a condition. Seek ye first. So that means keep God first. Just keep God first because God always honors His word. And we could see here, David trusted that God would deliver him because he knew God. He says, according to thy word, I trust in that. He had faith in what God said in His word. Look what he says in verse 43 and verse 44. And take not the word of truth utterly out of my mouth, for I have hoped in thy judgments. So shall I keep thy law continually forever. And ever. Now he's asking the Lord, he's saying, Lord, help me not to forget, right? Don't take it out. Even though we have faith, we know the very words of God, we believe the very words of God. Do you know what can happen in our lives? We can forget. There's a scripture, I think it's in 2 Peter in chapter 1. My brain's going too fast, I think, right now. So I got a headache, so very best I look it up so I won't misspeak it. It says, but he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off and has forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Can I tell you, it can come to a place in our Christian life where we're not growing, we're backslidden, that we can lose or forget that we're born again. We would get to the place of saying, am I saved? You start doubting. You get to the place and say, maybe I'm not saved, right? That's what he's saying. Purge. Why? Because you're not growing, right? You're maybe backsliding. God's chasing you. That's there. And here it is when you think about what David, I believe it's David, the psalmist, it says, take not thy word of truth utterly out of my mouth. I don't want to forget it. I want to still speak it. I want to know it, right? Folks, can I tell you, we need God to help us not to forget his word. We need God to help us when we have distractions that come in, that we run to the very words of God. When I was little, I'm sure, when I was little, that something would happen and I would get scared. I may not remember exact time, but I remember when I was little, you know, I don't know, maybe I would have a bad dream. You know, as a little kid, you have a little bad dream, you get scared. And when you get scared, what do you do as a little kid? Well, sometimes, you know, you take that blanket and put it over your head. I don't know why we always put a blanket over our head. It was like a security. Like, if I put a blanket over my head, that bad guy, that monster in my closet's not going to get me. You know, that's the logic of a kid, right, of doing that or whatever. But I know there were times, Julianne, I ran to my dad and my mom's bedroom. You know, I ran there, maybe knocked on the door. Let me in! Let me in! What do you want? I had a bad dream, you know. Let me in! And you ran there. And then next thing you know, if you know you're allowed, you jumped in the middle of them. You slept. They did not sleep. Amen. Because you were kicking them and stuff like that. But anyway, you would run. And you felt that security. Folks, can I tell you, we have security here. Sometimes you think about, you may not have a quote-unquote bad dream, but you are in the midst of a trial. And it's like, oh, I wish it was a bad dream. Don't run other, run to the scriptures. You have the very words of God. God has given us everything that we need to live a successful Christian life. Run to the word of God. And we could see here, David didn't want to forget about that. He also knew his sin nature could distract him. David, a man after God's own heart, you know what happened in his life? He got distracted. Don't think as a Christian that you and I can't get distracted. Our sin nature can distract it. And here it is. He's talking about that. He says, take not thy word of truth utterly out of my mouth, for I have hoped in thy judgments. And so shall I keep thy commandment forever and ever. Lord, I need your help. Lord, help me not to forget these things. I like that verse. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. You know what that means? That means I can do it only if I'm relying on his strength. You do it on your own, you ain't going to do it. Amen? But his strength. Look what he says here in verse 45, down to verse 48. These are interesting. David is making declarations, right? It's kind of, he's saying these things like a vow to God. And look at these things that he's bringing to the Lord of saying these things. He says in verse 45, and I will walk at liberty, for I seek thy precepts. The first one he's talking about, to walk at liberty. Now you think about salvation gives you liberty. Salvation gives you freedom. When you get saved, you are free from the penalty of sin. That's because it's been paid for. When you get saved, you've been freed from the power of sin. It doesn't mean you'll never sin again, but you're freed from the power. You have the victory. We sing that song, victory in Jesus, right? You have the victory in Jesus. So you think about salvation gives us victory. Someone that's still in sin and bondage of sin, that's lost, that's what they are. They're under bondage. They don't have freedom. The devil has convinced them, tricked them to think that they have freedom. Oh, I can do whatever I want. He's got you fooled. He's just getting you to continue to stay in your sin. That as long as for whatever. If God allows you to live for 70 years, the devil's goal is for 70 years to distract you, to get you, keep your mind off of God, to say there is a God of heaven, get your eyes off of Jesus and realize He's the Savior. If he can distract you to get you in your sin, stay in it. All he has to do is for 70 years to try to distract you, you die. And he says, yep, got another one. But you know, a lot of times, we blame things on the devil. It's not. It's who you are. It's your sin nature. The devil can only be in one place one time, right? So if the devil is there, he can't be over there. Now, God is everywhere present, right? What is it? It's our sin nature. Before you got saved, the reality is, yes, the devil has you in that snare, but what is it? It's your sin nature. He knows what you like. That's sin. And that's what he's doing. So anyway, he's talking about to walk in liberty. Walk in liberty. He made a vow. Made a vow, a declaration to God. He says, for I walk at liberty. Here, as he's talking about this, Lord, I choose to follow you. I want to follow you. I want to live for you. I want to walk for you. Oh, would that be our desire that's in our heart? Lord, I want to go your way. Look else. He makes this declaration on this vow in verse 46. He said, I will speak of thy testimonies also before kings and will not be ashamed. Here it is. He makes this vow. What's the second one? That you'll speak about God to others. He will speak about God to others. He said that he'll speak of thy testimonies also before kings. You know, most kings aren't saved people. Most people in authority, you think about, are probably not saved people. And you think about those as kings that have power. Imagine those that have that are kings that had the power, the ultimate say, that if someone came in and they liked them, they could live. If they didn't like them, they had the authority to just say, hey, let them die. Was it Pharaoh? He had the baker and the, was the cupbearer, right? Baker and cupbearer. And he had both of those, and they did something. I don't know what they did. They did something that made him mad. And he's like, throw him in prison. And then after a period of time, he says, hey, bring him out. And the cupbearer he restored. Why? Because he had the authority, right? And he says, that other baker, kill him. You know? I'm die. I mean, he had the authority. You think about Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar had the authority. Now we know the ultimate authority is God. God will hold leaders accountable. But he's the one who had the authority and said, hey, make an image that people will bow down to. I mean, he's the one that said it. And if people didn't like it, he said, kill them. Throw them in a furnace. And what was it? Those people did that, right? Here it is. He's talking about, speak of thy testimonies also for kings. Those who may not want to hear it. Those who have the authority that maybe could do things to David before he became king. And David said, help me to speak about you. Folks, can I tell you, it should be a place in our heart where we'd be the same and say, I just want to speak about you. I want to tell others about you. I want to tell others about your word. That should be in our heart that we want to do that. And that's what David was doing. David was making this declaration. He was saying, I want to tell people about you. I want to tell people about your goodness. When you think about the book of Daniel, and you think about, I think it's chapter 4, when Nebuchadnezzar wrote about the time that he was he lost his authority. He went out and was on all fours eating grass, and his hair grew, his nails grew, and then ultimately he was a crazy man, and he came back. It was him himself who wrote it. I, Nebuchadnezzar, right? And he wrote it to everyone. You know what he did? He was sharing a testimony. With John, he was sharing about the goodness and greatness of God and the mercy of God and how God humbled him. He didn't care. Can I tell you, when you get saved, You want everyone to know. You don't care who it is, amen. You just want to tell them. They may think you're crazy. That's fine. I know Jesus, amen. I want you to know Jesus too, amen. And here it is. He's talking about this, saying that he wanted to speak of the Lord. I want to tell the Lord of your judgment. So that means thinking about his goodness. But also, there's a judgment coming. God's going to hold you accountable for your sin. Talking about God's mercy or talking about God's grace. Here is the psalmist that's saying that I want to tell others. Oh, if it would be in our heart, there would be a desire in our heart that we want to speak and tell others about him. Look in verse 47. He gives us another declaration that he's making. He says, I will delight myself in thy commandments, which I loved. Delight myself in thy commandments. Here's the next declaration he's making. That word delight means to affect with great pleasure, to please highly, to give afford high satisfaction or joy. I don't know about you, but that food was good. Amen. And I like the sandwiches. I like the hot sauce that the ladies thought about me and put it on. I love the fruit. But I have to say, I really love the pie. Amen. I loved it all. Carrot cake was good. But you know, when you think about it, there's things that you like, you talk about, right? Don't ask John if he liked the pie. He'll really tell you, amen, he liked the pie, amen. Next time we're having a fellowship, this is all free. Everyone has to go first before John if there's a pumpkin pie, amen. So I'm just teasing, amen. So delight, right? It talks about of great pleasure, to please highly. David is making a declaration, delight thyself in thy commandments. I'm going to see God, your word, for what it really is. Recently, I've been trying to memorize more scripture. And as I've been going through, thinking about scripture that's there, I've been, as God has been dealt on my heart, and I would come to a scripture, and there's been some, I mean, just really made me feel good. I was just like, whoa, I like that. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to memorize that. I'm going to put that in my heart. I'm going to memorize it. Why? Because it was a delight to me. I think it was, I already gave it to you. Sometimes when I memorize scripture, I use my fingers. How precious also are, see, John, I'm the same way. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. And when I awake, I am still with thee. You'll find that in the Psalms 139, I think, verse 17 and 18. I remember reading that, how precious. Thinking about God's thoughts of me. It's like, wow. More than the number of the sand. I mean, think about that. More than the sand. And it was a delight, you know. Folks, what I'm saying is, David, when he said, Lord, I'm making a declaration that your word is going to be a delight to me. See what God's word is. I mean, it's not a judgment. Well, yes, if you disobey it, right? We know there's a judgment. But think about it. This is here to help you. Amen? This is to help you. It's the very words of God to help. What's the next thing he said? Look down here, verse 48. My hands also will I lift up unto thy commandments, which I have loved, and I will meditate in thy statutes. The next declaration he made is, lift up my hands to thy commandments. I got this from, there's commentary out there from Pastor David, I always say his last name wrong, S. I'm going to say that. Understanding the Bible. He wrote this. He says, in ancient Israel, the lifting up of one's hand was a gesture of respect. David thus proclaimed his esteem to the word of God. He says, my hands also I lift up to thy commandments. You know? It was kind of like you saying, Lord, I realize your word, how precious it is. You think about it, we may do that to God and say, Lord, how wonderful. You're showing respect. You're showing honor, saying how great he is. And here it is. He's making a declaration. What was it? My hands also I lift up unto thy commandments. Amen. I mean, this is not the very words of man. This is the very words of God. I mean, God gave us His Word. I mean, this is precious. When I go home and take and my Bible, I like to take my Bible. I like to set my Bible on top. I don't like to put anything on top of my Bible because this is the very words of God. I don't like that. I don't like taking my Bible and putting it on the ground. I like to take my Bible and throw it. It's precious to me. And something that's precious, you're going to, you know, be delicate, right? I mean, if you had a baby, amen, you're not going to take your baby and throw it. Well, if you're a good mom, right? You're not going to take a baby and throw it on the ground. Well, you may put a baby on the ground, but you'll have something that's there. But this is the very words of God. And that's what David said. I'm going to lift up my hands, right? Of saying, this is great. This is wonderful. It is thy word. And the last part, the last decoration we see here is where he says, I will meditate in thy statutes. Meditate in thy statutes. Because it is the very words of God, he vowed to meditate in it. Meditate is defined as consecration, like you're at concert, thinking about it, right? Thinking, reflection. Because this is the truth. Whatever God tells us is truthful. You know, I know the future. I do. I know the future. And I know what's going to happen. What's going to happen is there's going to be a rapture of the church. And I know what's going to happen after that. There's going to be a tribulation period. And I know after that, that we as believers are going to come back and we're going to live on this earth for 1,000 years in a little season. You know why? God said so. Amen? Do you know back in the 1900s, can't remember, or 1930-something, can't remember, I think it was 35. There was a country that changed its name from Persia to Iran. Now, you can go back and see that. And I know what recently happened with Iran, right? And I'm thankful for what our president did. But Mark, you can rest assured, that country will not be wiped out. Because they are going to be, you know, the Bible talks about there will be a war that's called Gog and Magog. And you know some of the countries that are in there that links up with them, who is Russia? Do you know who links up with Russia? Persia. Do you know who that is?
Iran.
Folks, can I tell you, you don't have to rest assured. You can rest assured because I know the rapture is going to happen. Amen. And we'll be taken out of here before that war happens. All I'm trying to say is this. I'm glad of, you know, trying to do whatever to get rid of that nuclear bomb that's there. Even if they had a nuclear bomb, they weren't going to get rid of Israel because God said so. It's not going to happen, right? But I can look at the scripture. You know what I could see? Because you read and you study and you think about it. Is Iran's not going to be wiped out. And neither is Russia. And the reality is it doesn't matter what the media says. Doesn't mean there'll be a superpower as in Persia, as in Iran. But they're going to link up with Russia. And it's not a coincidence when you look of what's going on in our world today. Who Putin recently, I don't know if you said, Saul just said something to Iran, and Iran was willing to listen to them. You know why? Because they're buddy-buddy. They have the same agenda. And that agenda is they hate Israel, and they hate God. Folks, we can sit here and read the scripture and meditate on it, think about it, and apply it to our heart. You know what it could do? And when we really think about it, we can look and say, you know what? I could see how things are getting ready and set up for the rapture. Amen? Matter of fact, I think the other one he talks about was Libya and some other one. I forgot what it was. It was some other country that's there, which you could see how they would be linked. All I'm saying is this. He said, I'm going to meditate in thy word. Amen? I'm not worried about the Antichrist to come on the scene because he's coming. I don't know when he's coming. Yeah, you're in trouble, right? Because the reality is, I can go through the scripture and read it and study it and meditate and think about it. And I know what God said. God promised to deliver me from the wrath to come. Folks, this Bible, God has given us things that's in this Bible. All we have to do is take time to start reading it and meditating on it. Start really thinking about it. Applying it to your heart. Memorizing it. Getting you ready and prepared for the trials and battles that you'll face. But also, it gets you ready for the future. Amen? I mean, I'm ready. Amen? If a nuclear bomb hit America, I'm ready. Amen? Don't be so prideful to think, oh, America will always be here. What proof and evidence do you have of that? No? I don't see America in the Scripture. Doesn't mean America won't be here. But the reality is America can't be what America is today. Because America defends Israel. And you look in this Bible, they're not defending Israel. God is. So where's America? I don't know. Are we wiped out? Are we just like another country? Probably more of a... Maybe I lean probably towards another country, and sometimes I think we could be wiped out because of the stupidity of our politicians trying to get everyone to end up like the Amish without electricity from these stupid things that they're doing. Get everyone to drive golf carts and stuff like that, that the grid can't last. Get everyone to fry in their houses because you can't turn your ACs on because the price of it is a gold bar or something, you know. So just stupidity. And it's just the fighting within. But I know this, that this book is true. That's what David is in those small few verses that he gave here. You know what he was doing? According to that word. I trust your word. Don't worry about what's going on in this world. Get in this book. And this book will encourage you and also get you excited to think, hey, we may be that close to that trumpet sound. Amen? To get ready to go home. Lord, I thank you for this opportunity to preach and teach your word. I pray that the message today was a help. Lord, I thank you for the patience of these people listening to your word being preached. And Lord, thank you for them staying here and just a blessing and encouragement to me. I pray that you give us safety as we travel home. Help us to have a good, nice, relaxing afternoon and be nice and cool. And we ask these things, Jesus, in your precious name.